Last time on Roseville Beach.
I have been following a string of arson cases that have broken out all over Roseville Beach. I bet you could help me figure that out. It's a raccoon. I'm sorry. A raccoon broke into your home. That's what happened.
I grew up out in the boonies. I know what a raccoon looks like. That wasn't a fucking raccoon. That was some winged dog fuck. I don't know what it was. It was flying around. I heard it scratching because, you know.
Well, what do you mean that there's a winged dog? Because I, a few weeks back, think I saw a fucked up dog thing, and it was like a salamander.
Around the corner comes the man in black. Thank you, citizen, but we'll be taking it from here.
And I'm going to reach for the electrified toaster and I'm going to throw it at him. I throw it. It goes over his head. I press toast. 5 minutes.
I've been waiting so long, Rose. Why now?
Figured it was too late for us to be happy, you know?
It is never too late to be happy.
Oh, she might want a friend.
That's the other fucked up dog.
To a fucked up dog daycare. That's what I'm hearing.
We can open up a fucked up dog daycare.
Mysterious light shine along the ocean bay. Hard to resist the thrills upon the summer.
Your service.
Magic that comes from lost powers, the witch Alix.
Hi, I'm Alix.
Arian's quest for love includes some fishy tricks.
Hi, I'm Arian.
Together, these three will surely have you transfixed. Roseville Beach, the ghosts like to play.
We're going to open up with a shot of the moon, and it's at the highest point in the sky as we sort of move down and we see shadows move through Roseville Beach. These shadows are you. We're entering mid-scene into a heist at Clinsdale to retrieve the broken pottery that we made a connection to last week, being about, or at least related to, maybe even if we are to believe the captain of the Roseville Runner, to have contained this entity at one point. Since the events earlier this summer, Clinsdale has beefed up their security. Nothing intense, because we're still Roseville Beach, it's still a little village, but they have employed a night watchman, they have put all of their artifacts behind thick glass, and you've seen like people kind of go in and out installing something inside.
I could go undercover.
You've been here longer than any of us. Everyone knows who you are.
Not like really undercover, but I mean, everybody's going to know my face, but I think I meant more like I have contract to work in place.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to scope it then? Yeah, go for it.
Well, then I could find a way to get you in.
I think we hear this as like a flashback as we're watching the scene happen with that shadow revealing to be Alix. Lou, you're able to get yourself on this work detail pretty easily. I mean, they're hiring, like I said, it's nothing too intense, but it does have some seriousness about it. And you have a lot of people who vouch for you in the community as being somebody reliable for this kind of work, at least if not, you know, stretching far into the future, at least for the short term. Paired with you is another Nightwatch. We're going to call them Steve. Steve and you are both inside, and it's not too big, right? There's the gallery, which is sort of this lower section, and a few steps up to the coffee shop in the back. And then there's like the employees only section, and there's the second level with all of the art that had been made by witches.
Is the job a partner duo, or if Lou were to walk away, would Steve think that was weird?
I think that there's mandated like breaks in your contract, and there's probably even like it's an 8-hour shift, right? So there's probably even like a lunch in the middle of it. And we're at some point in the middle of the night. It can be midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, whenever Lou would make this advance.
We had discussed this prior, Alix and Lou, in terms of like what time she should arrive for me to try to get her in. And so I think it's probably like 2 a.m. And Lou just goes, okay, I'm going to go on my 15. Steve, catch you on the other side. Don't fall asleep when I'm gone.
Oh, yeah. As he, like, shakes himself awake. No. Nah, yeah, you go on your
break. I'll be here.
Lou has no faith in this man being awake when she comes back. She will go to a space, if that's the employees only space, if that's, like, a back maintenance hallway, to a back door of the building.
I think they're both along the street. One of them, the main entrance, is along the street, which you can actually see the old witch's coven across from. And the other one looks out onto the ocean. That one would be closed off for the public. It leads into the kitchen where people would be going to take their breaks naturally.
Does the one that's closed off to the public have an entry to the out or an exit to the outside?
It's literally just a door that goes out to the other street. Yeah.
Glue will go through that door and open it and just be like, Alix, you can come in now.
You can smell like the cigarettes. She's been there probably like a little bit longer than she was supposed to be. And you can actually see there's like one or two cigarettes stuffed into a little sand tower. And she's like on a third one.
You've been going through those quite fast.
Uh-huh.
You know, there, yeah, just if, you know, you, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some would say, not me, some would say that could mean something.
She takes a long, slow drag and just stares at you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I noticed recently that there is an absence of Arion being around you.
She, like, actually stops moving. Like, she was gonna, like, flick, like, ash her cigarette a little bit with her thumb, like she does, and she just kind of, like, stops. Uh-huh.
I see that I am going to be getting nowhere with this conversation.
Uh-huh.
And people say, I don't know how to emote.
The hell says that?
It's been spoken by one or two individuals in my life.
Did they know you at all?
I now feel like I've backed myself into a corner and we've changed the topic a little bit when the focus was supposed to be on you.
Uh-huh.
So do you want to go get this piece of pottery?
Have we learned a lesson?
I guess the lesson that I learned is I just have to try harder.
She fully puts her cigarette out into the sand tower and just like, I don't want you worrying about it, okay?
I live with you, so it does affect me in some ways, and
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's... She instinctively reaches into her pocket and then remembers what you're about to do, and she, like, drops the case back in there, and she's like, listen, all I'm gonna say is that it's not your concern, but I appreciate you asking.
Okay, I mean, I guess nowhere in our roommate contract did it say that we had to be mutual friends, but I suppose we can just be co-workers. Alix, I'm worried and concerned about the things that are affecting the people that I think are my friends. So I hear you that you don't want to talk about it right now, but I'd like to continue being whatever type of friendship we are, which means that you're going to have to deal with me asking how you're doing every now and again.
I'm fucking transparent, I guess. I'm not doing great, Lou. I'm not. And I know the kind of person you are. You know, misfix it. And you're good at it. And God knows I love you for it. I don't want you to waste your time trying to fix me. Because you can't. And that's not because there's something wrong with you, okay?
I don't think you need fixing. I just would like to lend an ear if you need one.
You let me deal with Arian, and after that we can talk, okay?
Okay.
Just as you say this, you see a flashlight coming around the corner outside.
Steve. Fuck me, Steve. I thought he was going to fall asleep. Hurry up. Come inside. Come inside.
She goes. She knows what they're here to do.
You have some time. It's a perimeter check. This is going to be at least like 5-10 minutes. Steve slacks on his job, so it might be closer to 10. Inside, what you see is that all of the paintings have had sort of like, not like anything crazy, no glass panels or whatever, but it has almost like a tarp drawn over them, so people looking in wouldn't be able to see what the paintings are. Right in the center, a focal point for all of the attractions at the gallery is the broken pottery. Behind at least an inch thick of glass. When you look around it, you can tell that there's been something installed at the base of the glass. Something, you're not quite sure what it is, Lou. You were told not to touch it, because if you did, it would be pretty bad for you. Also fired.
To clarify, is the broken pottery like a vase that has a crack in it, or is it like shattered pottery?
It's hard to tell without like being able to pick it up and examine it for any specific details, but what you can tell is that it is shattered. Mostly the base remains, and it's been almost curated like a museum where all of the broken pieces have been displayed out on several tiers of a wooden display with a cloth underneath them. And there's a little placard kind of talking about how this was dredged up from the ocean floor near Roseville Beach, and that it is believed that it could give some insight into the history of Roseville Beach, although everything is just speculation up to this point.
Alix, there it is. I was told very seriously by my boss to not touch it. So I won't have this job anymore after this, which I guess what doesn't matter, because like the point of getting the job was to come here, but it feels really weird to get fired from a job and not finish it, I'll tell you that right now. But that's gonna happen, and I just have to accept it. So anyways, I haven't been allowed to touch this, so this is gonna be the first time we can get up close.
Okay. When you say touch it, do you mean literally, or is it like the whole case?
Oh, it was the whole case. There was something, they put something here at the bottom that they were like, don't touch it, you'll be fired. And I was like, okay.
The person who told it to you was not the friendly manager, you know, the head barista. This was like some old money guy from the west side of Roseville Beach. They came in to manage their coffee shop in the village they don't even live in.
So here's my question. Do we need to take the pottery out, or do we just need to see it as it was when it was whole?
That is a good question. I assumed that we had to get the pottery.
Okay.
Because what's going to happen if we just look at it?
Does it look like there's engravings on the outside of it?
Make a roll for goal and clue. And you can add skills like arcane to this.
I am giving Alix space to work.
I want you to know that she's appreciative. Alix is not used to being called out at all. So, like, she's grateful that she can just, like, ruminate on this right now. You're already in her head. Anyway, that's a 6 and a 5. So that's a full success for Golden Clue.
There's no inscriptions on the outside of it, but there does appear, you can't make out what it is, but in the shattered pieces on what would be the inside of the pot, there appears to be some sort of drawing that if you were to put them all together, like a puzzle, you would be able to see the full picture. Additionally, you notice that not every part of this pot is as ancient as it should be. Most of it is old, old. I mean, ancient, probably before Arion's time. But then there's some clay that is 20 years old, maybe 30. And it's just small. It's just a little bit. And you can actually see the base of it. It's like it's been used to repair the pot.
Does that clay have markings on it as well, like the newer clay?
On the inside, yes, but not on the outside.
It looks like scratches her head for a second. She's like, okay, here's the thing. I don't know if taking this right now is going to be the best thing for us, so I'm going to do the next best thing.
Make etchings of it?
Well, no. No, but that's actually like a really good idea. I was going to save that one for the future. Do you have your camera with you?
It's not like a big flashy anything, but I think it's a little bit better than just like a disposable camera. Lou just puts it in her pocket all of the time.
Make a supply roll for this.
So I got a 5.
You go to reach in your back pocket, Lou, and gosh darn it, it wasn't in these pants. These are uniform pants. It's normally in your shorts.
They made me wear these khakis, and I didn't do the pocket transfer.
You do have a little flip book for making observations throughout the night, and a pencil.
That's why I said etchings first, because I do have this.
That's so fair. Here's the deal. If they've alarmed this case, unless you've got some fucking Jim Phelps Mission Impossible thing that I just don't have, you know, you're handy with shit, right?
Yeah. It's like kind of my thing.
If you need something done delicately, I can probably help. I just don't know what to do. If you know how to disarm any part of it that is like requires a light touch, I will use telekinesis to do so.
Okay, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's good. I have to check to make sure there's something on it first, and then I'm bringing you in.
Lou, you take a moment, you scan the area, and you pick up on details quick. You've had a lot of jobs. You've had to be able to pick up this information fast. And you can tell from the last time you were here, when you were interviewed for the job, and now there is what's almost like a little metal pipe going up the wall onto the corner of the ceiling. Like it strays up and then it takes a right into the corner where there is a fire alarm connected to the pipe that is connected to this pedestal. And underneath the glass, little pressure plates.
Well... Elix, I might actually not need a little touch. I think what would be helpful is if I got my handy-dandy sledgehammer and then just hammered through the pipe.
Elix just, like, looks up at the pipe and, like, traces it around. And she, like, tilts her head to the side. You know? Fuck it. Fuck it. I guess we should get ready to bolt, huh?
But we have to grab the stuff. Do you have a bag?
Elix has a bag.
I'm calling the mighty, mighty sledgehammer that is now a shield. And I am whacking the pipe so that, like, it dents and hopefully part of it breaks so that there's, like, not a connection between the plates and the alarm anymore.
Injury and goal.
I would like to assist using telekinesis to hold the bell still, just in case.
I'm gonna roll a trouble die. It's now a 4, a 3, and a 2. I'm putting the 4 in goal. I'm putting the 3 in injured and the 2 in the trouble die.
Alix, you have like a flash of what's about to happen. Maybe it's magic, or maybe it's just you've known Lou too long. You can add a second die to this roll for Lou if you have a second relevant background or magic word.
I could certainly command the line to follow through on the break for whatever happens.
It's a 4. 4 in goal, 4 in trouble, and 3 in injure.
Lou, you still a little not used to the shield being on this sledgehammer. when you go to strike it, it bangs against the wall, and you come in at sort of the wrong angle to this, and you punch through the line and the wall for a small little hole in the brick.
Oh fuck, Steve's gonna definitely notice that.
Alix is able to hold the alarm from sounding until the whole thing goes through, until you're able to get a clean break and lift open the case. But the commotion, the sound, it caused Steve to notice as the flashlight sort of like peers in through the window, and they are going to the door, which they've locked because they're doing a perimeter sweep, and you hear the jingle of the keys. Lou, take sprained wrist.
Bro, you just got out of the hospital.
It's just a sprain. Lou kind of like runs over to the door and really loudly, as she kind of motions for Alix to start getting the pottery. Oh, fuck, Steve, I'm sorry, it's just me. I thought I heard something in the pipes, and then I tried to take care of it, and I made a lot of damage. Oh, it hurt my arm so bad.
Hey, well, just open the door then. Let me come in and help
you.
Yeah,
no, I'm trying. My wrist is just sprained, so, like, turning the knob really hurts.
And they have the key in the door, and you hear it, like, unlock.
After like the first 2 seconds of like, this is your backup plan, is just going and like has already lifted it up, and she's like telekinesed the all the pottery into the bag.
And you're able to get out the back door before the door opens up. And Steve sort of like tries to look past you, Lou, to the left, and look past you to the right. Where's the thing? Where's the raccoon?
I didn't say there was a raccoon.
What was it? What was in the walls? What was in the pipes?
There was like a weird sound in the pipes. And so I smashed it. And I hurt myself.
Lou, good job.
Thanks, but I did smash through the walls, so I am going to have to fix that.
Yeah, absolutely. He pulls out his little notebook. He's like, well, we should probably get our story straight so that we, you know.
Yeah, you were on perimeter check. I was keeping the fort. And there was a sound. It was a really creepy sound coming from the pipe, but you can't see in a pipe, obviously. So I took a hammer and I slammed it. And unfortunately, I didn't know my own strength, okay? It went through the wall.
Writes down your incident report, signs it, and then turns it for you to sign.
Can I read it and make sure it says what I said?
It says exactly what you said.
Okay, then I go, does this need to be like my government name, or can I sign my name?
I don't know, Lou. Just sign it.
Okay. Lou Wells. Wait, I have a question, Steve. If I were to just fix the wall right now, do we have to even send in the incident report?
Nah, you're right. We don't need to do that. Hey, okay, yeah, Lou. Yeah. You should fix that wall, and then neither of us gets fired.
Exactly. We're in this together. We're a team here, Steve.
He puts his arm around you and, like, draws you in and turns you around and sees the glass off of the case with all of the pottery missing. Oh, shit.
What?
He, like, takes your head and turns it towards the missing pottery.
Holy shit, it must have been a ghost!
It's a fucking ghost! Holy shit! I didn't know this. Holy shit. Oh my god, this place is haunted. Whew.
I've been investigating some weird shit happening around Roseville Beach this summer, so this is like right in line with all of that.
Yeah. And he like looks around.
We will probably have to. Somebody's gonna notice that.
No. You're on your own, Lou. I don't do ghosts. He takes off his little fake security badge and places it on the floor. You're on your own with this one, Lou.
I thought we were a team. Steve!
And he bolts out.
Steve!
You see him run into the horizon, all the way to just one block down. He turns around, looks at you, he runs off to the right, and then comes back and runs off to the left.
I fold up the incident report and stick it in my pocket. And then I'm going to write a little note on my notepad that says, Steve is a thief. I tried to catch him. Very sorry about your missing art piece, Lou. and I stick it on top of the glass case.
Did you invite Arion, or did you forget to, or because there's been weird energy between Arion and Alix? Was Arion not invited, is what I want to know.
Arion was part of the plan, but wasn't supposed to be at the actual place with us. Lou wasn't lying about it. Lou wasn't pretending they weren't doing something. They just finagled the plan.
The two of you walk into the beach house to find Arion, who was supposed to be in position doing task for this heist, asleep on the couch.
I knew one person was gonna fall asleep on the job tonight, and I really put my money on Steve. Instead, he ran from the job tonight, but here we are, a sleeping Arion. Arion, wake up!
Before your rousing call to Arion, you see that it looked like he was in the middle of something. There's a scattering of a couple of papers. There's one that looks to be some sort of recipe for something that he seemed to be reading. And there's also like a series of like other random things, including the shattered pieces of like Arion's necklace. Arion looks like he has been pulled to exhaustion by something. You've not really seen the siren fall asleep like this before. And as soon as your call gets, he's like, who's at the beach house?
Sorry, that was a little aggressive.
You see his fangs begin to like bear and his pupils turn into little slits.
Hey, put that shit away.
Oh, it's just you, my lesbians. Sorry, something must have... And then he looks at the piece of paper and he like picks it up and then folds it and tucks it away. Sorry, I must have fallen asleep. Are we going now?
Alix goes past both of them to the kitchen table and is already emptying out the pottery and is like playing a puzzle game with it, essentially like matching things, and she has said nothing.
I thought you... And Lou kind of just looks between Arion and Alix. Oh, we already went. I was told you weren't... I see what is happening here. Sorry.
Arion looks confused. I overslept. Am I missing something? It feels like a riddle is in the air.
Not involving me.
So involving Alix.
I was just at work. Straight up, I was just at work.
His expression changes as soon as Lou attempts to sidestep and dodge the many questions that Rian has, being someone who has just woken up and got here without understanding what's really happening. And there's a nod. Right. Perhaps I should speak to Alix. Yes?
If you can.
Of course I can. I have a feeling I know what this is about, so. If you'd like, Lou, have a nice evening for yourself. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
Oh yeah, you know, I left work early. It's already way... I'm not built for night shifts, so I'm just gonna go upstairs. Okay, good night. Good night, Alix. It was fun. Don't break any more of those.
You see Alix just kind of like waving her hand from the table as she's like sorting things, both like semi-magically and physically, trying to like align the etchings.
You're able to start piecing some of this together. It looks like most of the pot is intact. Whatever magic was in this pot has been dulled significantly, and it's almost like a residue of magic. The pot itself was simply that, but it contained something very powerful enough to leave residue. You can almost collect it, but as it leaves the pot, it just disappears into the aether, the background of Roswell Beach.
So the pot's not magic in and of itself, but whatever it was holding inside of it was.
Arion is walking around you, assessing kind of like your mood, but in that is looking at this, all these broken pieces of the clay, because if it looks like clay pottery, that sounds like something from his time. And is trying to kind of like decipher and read the patterns in a way that may seem familiar to him.
It's not clicking. You're both getting a lot of clues, and you're both seeing a lot of the pieces, but none of it is really clicking together. In fact, I would say you both probably have one half of the puzzle. Alix, immediately, you noticed this a little bit ago, the drawing on the inside and the new clay sort of used to repair it, but you're having difficulty piecing together where all of them go, because there's new clay, there's old clay, the drawings, you're not really sure what you're trying to piece together. You don't notice the pictures on the inside, but you do notice there was once a picture on the outside that has been scratched off. It's been torn, like almost like somebody's taken a knife to it and like scraped off whatever that imagery was. And you can kind of see how the pieces are lying together, but you can't get close enough to put it all together.
Looks like someone took some time to vandalize this. That's a lot of effort.
You see Alix like reach into her cigarette pack and like pull out one, and she doesn't light it, but she puts it in her mouth and she just kind of like chews on the end a little bit as she's like closed her eyes and she's muttering to herself. She's like, it's writing on the inside. It's on the inside. Something was inside of it. Something was inside of it. Something cursed the inside of it. It cursed the inside of it. But it wasn't magic.
I mean, something cursed enough for someone to scrape an identifier, a potential identifier, on the outside.
This episode was brought to you by World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the powers those worlds have to shape our own. Their posts are wide-ranging, and if you can't find something that interests you, that's gotta be a skill issue. Because even with a quick glance on their front page, I found posts about The Sims, about Project Hail Mary, about Halloween Town of all things, a movie I ritually watch every October. But one of my favorites was a post about Monk and Robot by Becky Chambers, which is a wonderful duology, a little slice of life about a tea monk and a sentient robot. And the World Builders Club article is a wonderful peek into the themes of the books. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack. Got her.
Here we go!
Oh my god, he threw,
here
he
we
threw
go!
The chair.
He threw the chair.
And now he's getting it back because we're right. Gonna have to sit.
We are in Casey's home. That was Casey's actual chair.
You look out of the window and you see a Toyota Previa upside down on fire.
Oh my god. Oh.
But it's not nearby any trees or anything, so it's fine.
On fire.
It was fine. It's not fine. Oh. Hey, GM. Jesus Christ, that's my fucking car.
Dynamite headbutt.
He screams as he headbutts this man.
Honestly, his left jaundiced eyeball pops out of his head.
Oh, and if you were to take a picture the second their two heads were touching, it might have been an intimate, tender scene between friends or lovers. But if you were to take a picture at any other second, yeah. It is just absolutely horrifying.
For some men, violence is a form of intimacy, which is so sad.
That is
maybe
so
for
sad.
This man. But anyway. Smashed in the head.
Bodhi has a pocket full of like one oversized precious moment angel that has a real strange face.
Oh, I thought that was your dick.
Oh, it was his dick. There's a hole in his pocket and his penis, which does resemble a precious moment angel with a strange face.
Oh, it's a strange face, but it actually looks like a pretty normal penis head.
And that's what we call facts.
He looks back and he says one last threatening phrase, pointing to the bar.
I'm gonna... And Violet shoots him in the head.
You see this guy's ear get blown off, flying off his head.
Ah! Bye-bye.
And then at this point, Scratch pops up like a mummy.
Ah, mummy! Headbutt!
Dynamite headbutt!
Something is rising, piecing itself together from the bodies and viscera around it. Its black wings spread, and it looks back at you with red, wet eyes.
Got her.
Fuck you, Lou. Can we step on the back for a second?
Yeah, let's do that.
Pushes herself up from the table and like waves her hand to open the sliding like door onto the patio.
There's a cool breeze that enters from the ocean, waves into the beach house, and it's almost like it tries to dispel the tension, but it goes around you. Whatever is happening here, everything can feel it. It's obvious to anyone who's around you.
As soon as they're both out, like, just waves her hand and the door closes behind them. She goes over to, like, the railing of the back porch, and with her cigarette in her mouth, she just, like, stares out at the night sky and just, like, lights her cigarette and just takes a slow drag.
Arian feels the ocean breeze on his face. An old comfort to soothe new wounds. And it's only half helpful. Because now, every time he smells the sea, he smells the death of the sailors. The ones he couldn't save. The ones that he bartered for and was not fast enough. And with every passing moment that this strange new emotion sits in his body, our siren feels more and more mortal. He feels more and more strange, stranger than himself. And we see Arian kind of like holding onto one of the posts of the main area of the beach house and starts like, we hear little bits of scratching against the wood. As another emotion bubble, new emotion bubbles up in Arian's frame, and it is anxiety. Look, Alix, I'm aware what this is about. It was a dangerous situation that you were all called to, and many lives were lost. And ultimately, those lives were taken in my domain. I do not take that responsibility lightly. At the hands of someone I would call sister.
Is that what you think this is? That's what you think this is about?
Arian narrows his eyes. Is this something else?
You think I give a fuck about the lives of a couple poachers?
They are your people.
They're humans and they're shitty. Unfucking believable. Oh, you're something else. You know that?
Well, then, pray tell, what is this tempestuous fury that you are holding within yourself?
Why'd you do it?
There are many things I did that night. You're going to have to be specific.
Why did you make a deal with that thing? You gave it what it wanted.
Arian pinches the bridge of his nose. Why did I make that deal? I thought that was fairly obvious, Alix. Because I had no other choice, I would rather have not given the Sea Witch what she had demanded of me. But if I had not done so, it would have been my life. The life of Odysseus.
Unbelievable.
I had to buy time for the both of you to arrive. What other choice did I have?
Choose your own life? Fuck your own life. You knew what giving her that power means. And you're gonna fucking sit there and then tell me what? You did it for love of that human? You know what, though? If I thought for one fucking second that you did it because you were actually in love with him, I think I'd understand that. I think... But I know you don't.
You do not know how I feel for that man. How could you know? How could you understand? Every single moment I live among you, I am stranger, more other than what I used to be. I am bound to him, Alix. Just like I am bound to all of you, bound to Roseville Beach. By Atticus's word, I am bound to this place. I did that. For us.
You were saved by a pretty boy, and you think that that's love. That's an infatuation. What's his name?
A realization bubbles within Arian.
He didn't ask. He didn't have time. Everything moved so quickly. He didn't ask his name. He still doesn't know this is his name.
You can't even tell me his fucking name. And you have the audacity to say to me that you love him. That's not love.
But what is love, Alex? Tell me, mortal. Tell me, human. What is love? Tell me, what is it?
You can't understand the dedication and the sacrifice when you know that your time is limited and what you have here and what you have to do matters. You don't understand what it's like to stare down a decision like that. You have no idea.
I have no idea.
To live with another person for a decade. You don't know. You don't know. You play at mortals' affairs, and you don't walk among them because you're afraid.
I play among mortals' affairs? Is that where we're going to start? Look at the fate of the Sea Witch and her coven. By whose hands was her fate wrought? My people are driven further and further from coasts. By whose hands are their fates wrought? We shall not be playing that game, Alex. The unjust actions are on both factions.
There's no such thing as just and unjust, Urien. That's a myth of people who have the luxury of time. Instead, what there is what we have with limited time, which is love. That is that dedication. And what you choose to sacrifice for it, that is what we have. And that is what you don't understand because you are so afraid. You want to be like us? Be like us then. But don't stand there and tell me that you do this for love when you don't even know what that is.
Lou, this is a rickety beach house. You might be on the second floor, but you can hear every word of this.
So Lou went upstairs with the intention of just falling into bed and going to sleep. But she has an incredible capability to compartmentalize. And so when she pushed the door to her room open, she had forgotten that the floor is littered with this crumpled pieces of paper thrown up and thrown around, as she has for like a week been trying to write a letter that she can't write. And the only thing that is completed is the envelope and the name and the address on the envelope, which is a name and an address she's been writing. Sometimes letters, but mostly just envelopes of cash to every month. And this time she's been trying to write a letter to go along with that as well, and she just couldn't find the right words. So that hits her when she comes in, and she kind of slams the door, and she starts pacing because this anxiety and this indecision is bubbling up in her. And then she starts hearing raised voices. And at first, her thought is, oh, I knew they were going to fight, but it's a little bit late to be that loud. And so she can like kind of block it out. But it's actually better for her to listen to that than it is to look at that blank piece of paper on her desk. And so she starts to listen to this conversation. And it's not humorous to her at all. Because while Arion is from some other place, Alix wields a power that the majority of people that Lou know cannot wield. And so she feels that it's a little bit haughty of Alix to be saying all of that, not realizing that in some respect she is the same as well. But like most years, the people living with Lou in this house come and go. They don't often stick around for more than one summer, maybe two. And she doesn't want to get in the middle of it because these people are going to be gone soon too. and whether they're going to be gone because they've run each other out of Roseville Beach or not doesn't really matter, because they're going to be gone anyway. And so she just kind of lets it play out.
Your thoughts are interrupted because the little green Stegosaurus, the little tiny toy you keep on your desk, is missing. And it makes like a distinct sound when it's played with, and you hear it coming from upstairs in the attic, followed by like a giggle. You know it to be a giggle, but it could easily be dismissed as a creaking of the house.
Lou kind of hears that, and it's distracting enough, and the voices are getting quieter outside, that she grabs that empty sheet of paper and a pen and climbs up to follow the noise. And I think, as Lou does every time, she opens the door of the attic and goes, "Hello!" And then just says a random name, hoping that at some point she'll be right. So this time she opens the door and she goes, "Hello, Clara!"
I like Clara. That's a good one. We'll do Clara today.
Great, because we've had some ones where I've said a name and you have gotten very angry about it, so...
Well, I'm sorry, but Peggy? That's a terrible name.
I'm sorry, I have an Aunt Peggy, but that's fine.
And she, like, does a little twirl, and her braids sort of, like, twirl around in front of her little school dress. This is, like, a little 11-year-old girl, maybe just barely 11. And it does look like a school dress, but it's clearly one that is loved for and handmade.
Lou shuts the door behind her. What have you been up to today?
Oh, I'm just doing some more drawings. And she, like, looks over to the window that's cracked open. I got a little distracted.
Yeah, I did too. Can I sit? Do you mind if I sit?
Hands you some chalk that she's been drawing on the walls.
Lou will sit cross-legged on the ground and start, like, coloring nearer to the floor on the wall. And she goes, "You've been distracted and you've been sneaky fingering my things again."
"No." And she, like, puts her hands behind her back.
"You really like that green dinosaur, don't you?"
"I don't know, I don't know what you're talking about."
"I know somebody else who really loves that green dinosaur, too. It's actually who it used to belong to."
"Well, do they want it back?"
No, they don't want it back. "I actually took it from them. So, really, you got me back."
"So, okay. That means... Now, I don't have it. But if I did find it, that means I could keep it?"
Lou wants to say no so badly, but she doesn't. "As long as I can visit it sometimes."
"Okay, well, I'll look for it then."
"I'm actually..." And Lou pulls the paper and the pen. "I'm trying to write a letter to the kid who used to own that. And I guess he's not a kid anymore. But he was a kid when I took that. And I haven't really known what to put in the letter."
"Daddy used to be really good at writing letters. Well, look, maybe you can find some help from Daddy." And she, like, brushes off the things from the desk, which have been underneath a tarp. In fact, you've never noticed this before. And she leaves one thing on it as she sort of blows off dust from this typewriter. And the drawers are stuffed full with papers and newspapers and clippings and photographs.
"Wow. You've been hiding this from me?"
"Well..."
"Not in a bad way."
No, not... I haven't... Well, yeah, actually... No, yes. Maybe. I just don't like people to know it's here."
"Yeah, and it's yours, so that's totally okay."
"Okay, but it's a secret, Lou. You have to be... It has to be a secret. You can't tell anyone else this is here."
"Yeah, that's fine."
"I feel like maybe the room grows, like, dark as the moonlight starts to grow blue and the floorboards begin to illuminate like a sickly green. Lou, this has to stay a secret. You can't tell anyone.
Well, this seems super important to you. How about we make a deal? You help me write this letter, and I'll keep this a complete and utter secret from everybody I've ever met or will meet.
As the light, like, fully fades away, and the green floor begins, like, the light is coming up through the floorboards, and it's flashing almost like a beating heart. It all goes away.
Okay.
Then I can show you. Come here! And she, like, takes your hand and pulls you over. Unclear what this situation is. She's a ghost, and you can assume this is ghost shit. You don't know. And on top of that, she's never done this before. And you don't know how to help her. But as you're going through all the things, as she opens up the drawer and she's pulling out Daddy's letters and newspaper articles he's written, there is something that catches your eye. A little photograph of the family. And you see this little girl, probably about 10, 11, same age she is now. In fact, it's close to when she died. And she is accompanied by her two parents, two very well put together gentlemen. One of them more fancy than the other, who wears sort of like reading glasses, and he has a big smile on his face. And the other one is in a little bit more relaxed clothing, something that you would recognize as being like a workman's working outfit. The sun is cast just behind them as they're like over the beach, but the little girl's shadow is off as it stretches the wrong direction. You look up and you see what she's been drawing all over the walls is the entity, the shadowy figure.
Is that your friend?
Not anymore. But I don't really want to talk about him.
Oh, okay. I just like saw him recently.
That's not true.
Yeah, I'm not lying to you.
She just like drops the papers onto the floor. No. What? And her voice matures into that of a woman. No.
I'm sorry to bring you this news.
When? What? But I... No. Lou, no. When did you... Why did you... Why? Lou, why did you open it?
Open what?
It's just you. It's just you?
It's just me that has...
Take me to... Take, and she, like, grabs onto you. And she, like, steps out into the moonlight as she has this visage of death on her. Take me to the pod.
I didn't think you could leave this room.
Lou, how willing are you to be possessed?
Okay, hold on. But I really, really need to write this letter. This is really important. So can you promise me that you will jump out of my body once you're finished with this so that I can write this letter? Because I cannot just leave my brother hanging.
Fine. Yes, Lou. With all of my being, I promise you that after that thing is dealt with again, I will leave.
Okay.
And she extends her hand out to you.
There's a bit of Lou that doesn't believe her. And I don't think it's because she really thinks she's lying. It's just Lou has been so trusting of everything. And there's like a little Alix voice in the back of her head that is like, this is a fucking stupid thing to be doing. What the fuck are you doing? Get the fuck out of there. But she doesn't care. Even if this little girl is this grown woman now, or some evil, angry ghost. They have been friends for a decade. She can't just leave her. And also, she knows how to stop this thing. She knows what this thing is. And that is even more important than whatever Lou's got going on. So she takes her hand.
What you did, I can't even call it selfish. It was just fucking stupid. And now, for no reason, you've fucked over everyone here for nothing.
For nothing.
For nothing.
Alix, you are here, breathing this air, alongside Lou at our beach house, because Hallie believes she won. You are a witch! How do you not understand a witch's wrath? How do you not understand when one has been cornered in a deal without a choice? I know the grief you wear behind your eyes, that you think you can hide in long nights. I know not what you lost. I know not what hurts you. But I know you understand that a witch is to not be trifled with. And Hallie is far more ancient than I. I bought us time. Time that is dangerous, time that is volatile, but time nonetheless, unless you would have preferred the ocean be your watery grave.
When you say witch's wrath, you see her hand go up to that choker she always wears. One finger like hooks underneath it and she's like nervously grasping at it. And she just looks at you dead in the eyes.
So you know, Alix, you forget a single thing about me. You were given a choice and what did you make?
The choice that I would make thousands and thousands of times over and over and over again and damn the world to ruin for it. I chose love.
You chose love. And this is what love has wrought you?
That's what a sacrifice is, Marianne.
Do you truly think? And he like leans against the wooden post and the moonlight hits his face in a really odd manner. Half his face bathed in moonlight, half bathed in shadow. And that which is bathed in shadow, we see little frills and gills begin to poke out and a slit in his eye. But the moonlight reflects this mortal human face. When you look at me, Alix, what do you see? Am I just a monster in your eyes? A creature to damn the human race?
No, I see a fool.
Are immortals fools? Aren't humans fools, doomed to make the same mistakes over and over and over again? Because none of you live long enough to remember. You lecture me, Alix, and I do not blame you. Perhaps you, if you were in my stead, would have found a different path. You, who are the strongest among us, and I do not exaggerate. Maybe you would have made a different choice. Maybe you would have found a different path. Maybe you would have found the eye of the needle where I could not. But that path is one I couldn't find. A choice between seafoam, death to all of those mortals there, doom to Roseville Beach, or a devil's bargain. Just like you would make that same choice again and again, I would do so for all eternity, knowing what I knew. I would still make that choice because you both found me, Alix. My gambit worked, and it is still yet to play out. Believe me or don't, that is your prerogative. But I knew you both would come for me. I may not understand mortal love, but I do know this. I do know that both you and Lou are wonderful human beings that I would have protected with all of my heart. And that's not something a siren should say. And Arian kind of like walks off from this conversation towards the inside of the house, sliding the glass door past him and entering back into the living room.
Oliver. His name is Oliver.
Oliver.
He goes by Ollie.
There's a weird way this name dances on Orion's tongue. Oliver.
And hers was Estelle.
Did she hurt you?
Rubs the side of that choker again. Not as much as I did her.
Right then, Lou walks down the stairs, accompanied by this eerie green glow about them. Their eyes are the first thing you notice as it glows in the dark, piercing through the house, and locks eyes with the shattered pot. She begins to move over in a way that is unfamiliar with her own feet.
Lou?
What the fuck?
Lou, this is not an unfamiliar feeling to you. This is similar to when you were trapped inside the painting. Aware, but unable to take action. And just like the painting, you don't have to stay here. You look behind you and there's a door.
Am I in a liminal space?
Yes, you are both here but not here. You've become unstuck in reality.
Lou needs to be possessed to find the guy and put him back in his pot. So she doesn't want to do anything that's going to stop that. Stop Clara from being there and being able to leave. But Lou also doesn't want to be just watching everything go on. The door presents itself and Lou walks through it.
As you get closer to the door, it's like your body and your spirit separate from each other. As you are walking to the front door of the house, now distinctly new, now distinctly repainted, you reach out for the doorknob and you hear it and louder until you touch the doorknob and it clicks open. And you hear, Donna. Donna Ray Cooper. And you walk through the door into the beach house. The same, but distinctly fresh, new. The steps outside, when you look behind you, are freshly put in. Not broken, not collapsed. The sunken living room is currently being sunken. The kitchen behind you has people rolling in appliances and they're picking out the different types of countertops that they want. And you see a little girl, Donna Ray Cooper, rush upstairs. You have assumed the body of another little girl. Not yourself, but someone else.
And the little girl that ran past is Clara.
That's distinctly Clara.
Is there anybody else in this space? Or just that voice that I heard?
Yes, there's those two men from the photograph who are debating between the two countertops, and there are contractors that they are working with.
Are they the people who called Donna Ray Cooper?
They are. In fact, you see the one who is dressed a little bit nicer with the reading glasses watch Donna Ray run up the stairs and give sort of like an exacerbated sigh.
Are they wearing the clothes they were in that photo?
No.
I'm going to run after her.
Upstairs, you run as there are all of these boxes that are currently being moved around. And things have been sort of moved into the attic. And your instinct is to go into the attic. But Donna Ray runs into what's your room. And on the inside is that writing desk with the typewriter on top of it, all of the pages and pages, and Donna is breathing very heavily.
Donna?
And she like hides something in her dress.
Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry. Did I forget we had a playdate or?
No, do you know me?
Yeah. Are you okay? Are you feeling okay, Abby?
Oh, interesting. I think that I feel a little out of sorts.
Yeah, me too. Hey, I'm so sorry. I can't play right now. Can we play later?
Yeah, I actually wasn't coming here for a play date. We can definitely do that at a later date. I had a question for you.
And she, like, glances around the room as she sort of like clutches her dress where she hid that thing.
Can I ask my question?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Have you found and or seen a pot?
And you see her eyes go wide. Abby, no. And no, no, no. She steps like to the side in front of the desk.
You're not in trouble like how you would be in trouble with like parents if you did something wrong. It's a possibility you could be in trouble in another way, though, if you had this pot that I'm talking about, because the pot is bad.
Why is it bad?
So pots hold things, right?
Uh-huh.
This pot is a little bit different, though. Usually the things that are in a pot are like inanimate objects, dead things. So this pot has something else in it that isn't either of those other things that I just mentioned. And you shouldn't open it, ever.
And she, like, pivots around you and shuts the door. Abby, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to.
Oh, you already opened it.
I just didn't want Daddy to be so hurt again. I just didn't want Daddy to be... He's worked so hard, and I just wanted to get his job back, and I just wanted to help him, and he said he could help Daddy, and all I had to do... And she, like, takes something out of her dress, the thing she was hiding, which is that image. The image of the entity that she's been drawing over and over again on the walls in chalk. All I had to do was put this in Daddy's things and then tell him to put it in the paper, and then it would all be okay. It would all be fine. But I didn't mean for them to get hurt.
Yeah. That's not your fault. It tricked you. It does that.
What if we put it back? And you see there's, like, the shadow growing behind her. What if we put it back?
We should. I don't know how we do that.
And she takes your hand and she brings you up into the attic. And she shuts the door behind you. It's, here. And she, like, lifts open one of the floorboards and she pulls out the broken pieces of pottery. Large chunks. And she grabs something out of her boxes. She's like digging and digging and digging. It's marked like construction or some sort of like supplies, and it's clay. Here, help me. And she gives you the pot. The outside has the image of the entity, and she hands you a knife.
I'm not like the best artist.
She's like taking the wet clay and she's kneading it onto the pottery as she is attempting to put this back in. And she looks to you and she gives you a motion that's like, we need to hurry, as the shadows are growing bigger and bigger. The light, just like before, just like the scene you had with her, is narrowing and narrowing, getting closer and closer on this pot.
I don't think I'm getting it right, and I'm concerned that means it's not going to work.
I think no matter what, I think it has to. She grabs your hand. Abby, we're gonna stop him. Right here. Right now. Promise me. Promise me that no matter what happens, you'll stop him.
I promise.
As she helps you scrape off all of the imagery with the knife on the outside of the pot, and she places the picture that was supposed to go in her father's desk inside, and it sort of burns as the paper disintegrates away, leaving behind just the image of the entity. And you and her put the rest of it together, just as the last thread of light blinks out. She slots in the final piece. Donna, you were supposed to put that paper with your father's things. You were not supposed to put it back inside the pot. Donna, there are consequences for these things. All of the shadows begin to seep, almost like liquid, as if they were flowing out, but instead flowing up, defying gravity into the pot. And you watch as Donna's shadow goes into the pot as well. And her body, as you are pulled back, and the door opens, launching you out, back into present day. Ariane, Alix, Lou has rushed over to the pot and has started trying to put it back together. And you watch with extreme accuracy as they are puzzling it out. And Lou, you are brought back in this moment as the final puzzle piece clicks in with the image of the entity. No. I can't fix it this time. It's broken. As she like picks up all the pieces. It's broken.
Sorry. This time?
Lou,
did you let a ghost possess you?
That's why you smell weird.
Donna, with a defeat, releases your body, returning to her attic.
Hello, friends.
There you are.
Yeah, that's Lou.
We left you for 5 minutes.
Sweetie, what have I said about letting ghosts possess you?
I promised a little girl that we would put this shadow thing back in its pot, so we're going to put the shadow thing back in its pot.
Well, I mean, we were planning on doing that anyway.
I think I should go talk to her about why she thinks his pot is still broken.
Okay.
I also think that her shadow is attached to the shadow and that they live in the pot together, and I would love to separate them if possible.
That is a lot of information to take at one time.
Yeah, that's a bit. Do you have a name for the thing? Did the shadow have a fucking name?
I don't have a name for the shadow, the little girl in the attic. Did you guys know about her? Her name is Donna. I'm not supposed to be telling you any of this. I did also promise her that, but I feel like my promise to stop this trumps my promise to not tell.
Go.
Lou, when you rush upstairs, the window is open as the sea breeze bellows the curtains inward. All of the papers on the desk, gone. All of the drawings on the walls, gone. The chalk, the toys, vanished. The only thing up here is a single little green toy of a dinosaur in the center of the room.
I pick it up and I put it in my pocket and I go back downstairs.
Dear, are you possessed again?
No.
Okay.
Why do you sound like that?
She's gone.
So she looked at this, said she couldn't fix it, and left?
We have work to do.
Yeah.
Well then.
We zoom in onto the pot as the three of you surround it. And we fade to black.
This series stars Alexander Christopher as the Game Master, Valiant Dorian as Arion, Dan Pixel as Alix Cho, and Kenzie Tartaglioni as Lou Wells. If you liked it, share, rate, and review. You can join our Discord, and make sure to check out our Patreon for this season's character advancements, bloopers, aftershows, and so much more.